Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are you?
I am doing well. I did something. I know you do it two or three times a weekend, but I don't do it that often. I went to a real movie. I saw Jersey Boys and loved every minute of it.
That's awesome. Did you sing along?
I did the crowd a favor, and I did not do that. But anyway, I'm coming off of the weekend very refreshed. I always look forward to this segment because every so often, periodically, we have here on the High Velocity Radio Show a special edition where folks from the Dunwoody Chamber come in and visit with us. We spotlight some of the businesses. We get caught up on the events, and that's what we're going to get a chance to do this morning. We've got a studio full, but we're going to open the segment by checking in with Leslie. Leslie Massasek?
Very good.
See there?
That's
all
right.
Nailed it.
So what's going on over there? Get us caught up.
All right. Well, we have lots of events coming up at the Chamber in the next few weeks. Tonight at 5:30, we have our first Monday networking event, and that is at Memphis Barbecue. That will, like I said, start at 5:30 and go till 7 o'clock. That is a great way to kind of come and mix and mingle with some friends and new friends in Dunwoody. You bring lots of business cards. We usually have about 40 to 50 people there, free appetizers and a cash bar. So if you're looking for some good barbecue and looking to meet some new clients or contacts, come on out to Memphis Barbecue tonight at 5:30. We also have on September 16th, we have our Dunwoody Chamber and Heels Luncheon. That is at 11:30 a.m. at McKendrick's, and that will feature Craig Wolpert, and he is a martial arts and self-defense instructor. So it'll be kind of a nice way to learn how to protect yourself. These are awesome events. Our last one sold out, so really and truly, you need to kind of get your tickets today. And all those events you can register for at www.dunwoodycommerce.org. And then our last one is our Coffee and Contacts event, and that is on September 26th. It's at First Watch Cafe. That is a free event, and you have a chance to do a 30 to 60 second elevator speech. Again, bring lots of business cards, and that is conjunction with the Sandy Springs Chamber of Commerce. So that usually gets about 60 people out there. Again, a great event to get your name out there in the Dunwoody Sandy Springs community.
Well, it sounds like you guys got a lot going on.
We do. It's always busy at the Dunwoody Chamber.
Now, who'd you bring with you today?
I brought Jennifer Howard and Malcolm Aga and Kenneth Gordon, and they're going to talk about their businesses.
Awesome.
All right. Well, let's start with Jennifer. Now, Jennifer, you are a financial advisor with Edward Jones. Is that accurate?
You got it right there, Stone. Thanks.
All right. So before we dive in, right out of the box, what compelled you to follow this type of career? Did you always know you wanted to do that, or did you come from a completely different arena?
That's a great question. Fascinating question. And then a pretty good story. I actually started my career with a Fortune 500 consulting firm. So I worked with many companies all around the country and all around the world trying to improve their business processes, help their bottom line. But while I was there, clearly I wanted to invest for myself with using my own money. I grew, I learned, I read a lot, spent a lot of my spare time reading about investments. And over time, I started having my friends and my family want to sit down and just pick my brain, have me take a look at what they were doing in a non-professional capacity, of course. And over time, it just really, it very naturally grew into, this is really where I'm getting a lot more joy, where I'm spending my free time, and I could turn it into a business. I could help people day-to-day solve questions like, how do I retire? Or what do I do with my old 401k? Or are my investments in the right place? And for me, it became just a very natural career switch. I was already advising people, just more Fortune 500s and less individuals. And the individuals is really where I find my joy.
Now, I heard there was a saying that said the best way to become a millionaire is to start a billionaire.
To start a billionaire? I'm not exactly sure what that means.
So you start as a billionaire, and eventually, over time, you can become a millionaire. Now,
there are a few people out there who are able to do that, yes.
Now, is it possible to work in reverse, to start with not a lot of money and then become a millionaire? Is that realistic?
Absolutely, that is completely realistic. And there's a lot of studies out there that show that wealth generation is typically done in 1 to 2 generations, and wealth loss is actually done in about 3 generations. So the majority of people in the United States are millionaires, and they become millionaires by and large by saving and investing on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. It has a lot more to do with activities that they do every day with their money, that they invest and work with the right professionals to grow a portfolio, and often less to do with their inheritance and winning the lottery, which, you know, everybody makes a joke about, but it's just very uncommon. So you're much better to do something on a day-to-day.
So do some people have lottery tickets as part of their investment portfolio?
None of my clients in a meaningful way have those as
But people who aren't your clients, some of them think that that's going to be their ticket.
Well, the lottery's still around, and we're funding millions of, or at least thousands of college students every day to go to school through that scenario.
So what does the process look like? If you start to work with someone, can you kind of just walk us through what you would do, especially in the early stages?
Absolutely. When I meet with an individual or business owner, what I like to do very first thing is to sit down and get to know the person, learn about them, learn about their business, learn about what they do, and figure out what their goals are. Not everyone has the same goals. Some people want to retire young. Some people are happy to work until they can't work anymore. Some people's their primary concern is to send their children to college. That's a big one. And so really to get to know my clients, know what their goals are, because their goals are my goals. And once we figure out what they want to have happen, kind of figure out where they're at, you know, what's their budget look like, you know, where are their investments now, and make sure that they're structured correctly. There's risk out there, and making sure that their position, both in their IRAs, their 401ks, their midterm money, make sure that they have the right allocation mix to help them reach and achieve their goals. And once, you know, we figured out where they're at, where they'd like to be, kind of make the next couple steps. What are the next few steps for us to get them there? And then after we've done that, usually I like to do a check-in every 6 months to a year, depending on the client and what they need.
Now, does everybody have the same kind of risk tolerance, or is it across the board?
I would say it's across the board, and most of the time, even if you meet with a couple, a husband and wife, a lot of times they
imagine that
they may have different goals and objectives and risk tolerance.
So sometimes when you meet with a couple, like the couple might think at the beginning of the meeting they were on the same page, but somewhere in there they realize, hey, whoa, what are you doing with the money? I don't want it to go there. That's crazy.
Every now and again, they come in thinking they're on the same page, but often they think they're on separate pages and realize they are closer than they originally thought by the end of the meeting.
So now,
so you're like part therapist, right? No, because money is very emotionally charged issue for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm.
It is an extremely emotionally charged issue.
Yeah.
I contend it is nothing more than a tool. If people have the same goals and objectives and can agree on the same pattern to get there, it is nothing more than a tool, but it is often the tool that people use to fight about the most.
Now, you just got married recently, right?
I did recently get married.
So now, do you work a lot with newlyweds, or now that this is fresh for you, can you share your kind of financial meeting you had with your spouse? What was that negotiation?
Yeah,
like?
that was a fun negotiation. I'll tell you, he's involved in money management, or not management, but he works with money at his job as well. So we both have some strong opinions. But absolutely, I don't specialize per se in newlyweds, but I have consistently worked with newlyweds, both people who are coming to marriage for the first time, and people who are in the process of getting remarried, so a second marriage.
Second, third, fourth, different strategies for each of those?
Similar process, but sometimes different strategies. Again, all of my clients have different goals, often different objectives in their lives, and so we want to make sure that it's a tailored approach for each couple, and I think it's really important to make sure that, you know, one, when somebody's newly getting married, you know, have you guys talked about, you know, what's your budget look like? Kind of the first things. Are you guys on the same page? Have you talked about your goals, what you'd like to have upcoming? And it's a lot nicer to really discuss it prior to getting news in the mail that, you know, might not have been shared previously. So it's a much better situation to talk about that.
Now, when you work for this large consulting firm, when you would get clients, they would tell you just show up somewhere, right? They would send you a plane ticket, and that was how your job flow worked. And then now in this world, you have to kind of get every client yourself, right?
I do get, I am more responsible. I was always somewhat responsible for business growth and selling myself to the clients. However, in this line of work, yes, I do often work on referrals. I've been very fortunate over the last year, year and a half, I've been getting quite a few referrals from my clients. Can't thank them enough. Their parents have been referred to me, their children, their sisters, their brothers. Not to mention their friends and colleagues as well.
So do you have a sweet spot of the you specialize? You said not newlyweds, per se.
I have quite a few newlyweds, but yeah, I mean, most people are married, you know, right. that I work with. My specialty is business owners.
Business owners.
Yes. As you guys know, business owners have, you know, you guys are business radio here, so probably have a strong view that business owners have a lot of needs. They're complicated. And I like the complication. I like that each business runs just a little bit differently. I like that, you know, some business owners have one employee themselves, and other business owners have several employees if they're running a manufacturing firm.
Right.
And those people have different needs, not to mention the needs they have to make sure their family has a, you know, a future that is what they want, you know, a bright future.
Now, when you talk about business owners, and like you said, sometimes the business and the personal gets intermingled in some people's businesses, and then others, it's totally separate. Do you work better with one or the other?
I contend that they're always intermingled.
Well, sometimes they're too intermingled.
Okay, well, in a legal way, they shouldn't be too intermingled, right? The books should be kept separately, absolutely. But most people do what they do for business to support their family. Mm-hmm. Because at the heart, although the business is important, typically it goes back to providing for their family, and that's...
He's still upset about this weekend in Atlantic City. I pulled out the wrong credit card. It was an honest mistake, and he's taking a stab at your expense. So don't go down this rabbit hole too far. So do you find that you run into... Because surely you see patterns. Do you find that you see some mistakes just over and over and over? I mean, you sit down, and you have to be... polite and cordial about, but you're thinking to yourself, well, here we go again. Here's another one that's done the same thing. You know, why doesn't somebody just, do you find that there are some common mistakes? Like with this group of business owners, are there a handful of things that they, man, if they would just not do this and do this?
As far as business owners, many business owners think they're going to want to work forever when they first start their business. Mm-hmm. And at some point they decide that's not really what they want. And it's much easier to talk about exit strategies, talk about ways to move investments or the value of the business to themselves at the front. If they're at the front and starting to think about what their exit might be or how they might transition to another person who's going to get the business, whether it's a member of their family or a member of the business community that they're going to sell their business to, either way, if they can think about that on the front end, even when they're really happy with what they're doing and can't imagine not doing it anymore, it's usually it's good to start that conversation earlier, even when sometimes they think I'm crazy for talking about it.
So you must find yourself, you're hanging out with business people a lot then. I guess that's part of what drove you to be an active part of the Dunwoody Chamber, and I know you're involved in other organizations as well. But I have to believe... It must be a challenge to get time with business owners and have this kind of conversation with them. Are the referrals are just strong enough that I'm trying to get a handle on the sales and marketing side of this thing. Well, I'm thinking one is just having a conversation, and then number two, you're talking about my money here, right? And then and trying to.
Are people just like, hey, here's how much money I got
where you've been here. All my life?
Here's all my information.
Is that how they are?
Go make more of it.
When they're ready, they're ready. And yes, they are. When they know that, you know, you're a quality advisor and they're ready to get serious about their investments. I mean, they often, if they know, if they have a goal, and most business owners are goal driven, if they have a goal and they think you can help them, then they're actually usually very forthright and very, very to the point.
All right. So if somebody wants to have that conversation with you, what's the best way for them to reach out and learn more and talk through some of these things?
Probably the easiest thing for people to remember, Jennifer Howard. So Howard like the duck. And I'm in Dunwoody. I work with Edward Jones. So if you look, type in your email, jennifer.howard@edwardjones.com. I'd come up. Otherwise, you can Google me, and it's a Jennifer Howard financial advisor. Also should come up if you put Dunwoody in there pretty easily. So, but it's jennifer.howard@edwardjones.com. Love to hear from you guys.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I mean, it's something all business owners, I mean, we need to be cognizant of this, and it's easy, I can tell you as a business owner, to just get mired down in the day-to-day of running your business. And, you know, you go very long at that, and you don't really think through your long-term financial plan. That can have some serious impact on you and your family for years to come. It's an important topic.
Absolutely. I very much agree that it is a highly important topic and should be looked at every few months.
All right. Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
You know what? I wouldn't miss it. I hear there's some jewelry involved. And
all right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, we have with us with Kenneth Gordon Jewelers. We got the guy, man. We got the grand poobah. We got the owner, the boss. We got Kenneth Gordon. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
So did you learn anything in that last segment?
Absolutely.
You going to be smart with your money?
I thought you was talking directly to me.
Fantastic. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that you might specialize in some very beautiful things that adorn some very beautiful people. But I'll let you speak for yourself. Tell us a little bit about your business, who you're out there trying to help.
Well, I am a private jeweler, and every time I tell someone I'm a private jeweler, they say, well, what exactly is that? Unlike a retail store, I have an office, and I work closely with my customers on a one-to-one basis. I offer a variety of fine jewelry, and because of my expertise, experience, and low overhead, my customers enjoy great values with patient, personalized attention. That's the private jeweler difference.
Well, I think you've answered the question before. I mean, that was very articulate.
Thank you.
So why private, though? Did you used to work in, do you call it a public jewelry store?
I grew up in a family business in Chattanooga. Uh-huh. We had one of the better stores in the city.
A family jewelry business?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And I just about grew up in the business.
Enough of this, Dad. I'm going out of my house.
You're doing it wrong. I can do it better than that.
So I've done all aspects of the jewelry industry. I've been trained in all aspects, and I've enjoyed it. And I've really sharpened my skills for 23 years in that environment. For the last 20 years, I have an office. I work by appointments and referrals. I work with people that are more interested in quality and workmanship and styling than they are in the lowest price, the biggest deal, and the biggest bargain.
So are you saying that you shouldn't necessarily buy jewelry based on who has the biggest billboard?
No. They have to pay for that billboard.
So your method is more personal, right? So
absolutely.
You're about relationships, and these people are clients probably for life. Like once they start working with you, then you get to know what they like, what they don't like, and then are you out there searching for it, or are they coming to you with ideas? How does the process work?
Both. Oftentimes, people have an anniversary, a birthday, they're getting married, they're having a child, a baby, they're going to have a push gift.
Gift?
A push gift. That's the latest thing in the jewelry business.
What is a push gift?
That's when your wife is pregnant.
She's going to push out a kid and you got to buy her a gift.
Exactly. You know, in the olden days, the guys would go out and have a few beers and pass out cigars and have no clue what's going on.
Exactly.
Nowadays, the guys are right there with their wives.
With a diamond in their
hand. Yeah, and they say, boy, she deserves something for what she's going through. I'm glad it's her, not me.
Is there a Hallmark card for a push gift?
You know, that's a good question. I bet there is.
So now, walk us through, how does a person discover you? Like, is it through a friend of a friend? Is this like kind of a secret knock you have to get in to go to you?
Well, I do have an email. I have email, of course, but I do have a website. It's www.kennethgordon.net. But it's basically by referrals,
right?
Where I get my and repeat business. I get my
Time somebody comes in and talks to you, is it over the phone? I guess at first, what's the first?
Usually,
so now they call you.
Sometimes we just meet,
Like we're meeting now.
Absolutely,
at a radio station.
That's right. I mean, you never know. One of us might need a piece of jewelry.
Or need a push gift.
Or exactly.
So now we meet, and then so what's the first conversation like? I got this event coming up, and I...
Yeah. I just very recently met with a group of friends for just to get together, and a few days later, I get a call, and he says, you know, my girlfriend and I have been going out for a long time, and I'm ready to give her an engagement ring.
Right.
Congratulations. I'll be glad to help you, and I will.
But, okay, so now you want to get something that the woman likes, right? So
yes.
You have to kind of get in the head of the guy to say, does she like this?
Absolutely.
Shape,
absolutely. I want to know as much about her as possible. And, once again, I help out with birthdays, anniversaries,
right.
People
any
getting
occasion,
married.
Right.
Any occasion. And for me to get to know her style is very important so I can guide him in the right direction.
Right.
A lot of times men tend to get the most basic piece of jewelry because they're afraid to
go out on a limb. They could be wrong. They don't want to make a wrong choice.
So I help them and guide them along.
So what's that guidance look like?
To get pieces that will stand out from the crowd, pieces that have real fine styling and real fine workmanship, and pieces that are going to last forever because they're not high fashion where they're in today and out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's a significant gift, you want something that's going to always be nice.
So now, do you have a lot of jewelry in stock? And I don't even know if we should talk about that on the radio because there's a bunch of jewels somewhere in Dunwoody on the third floor.
I just happened to brought a few pieces that I'll pass around.
They may not translate over to airwaves.
If I hold this up close to the microphone, will the
people you can see it. You got to get it real close.
So you do. Wow. You have real stuff that you're laying out and showing them.
And he's got them in these cool leather pouches.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I'm in like one of those movies you like to watch.
All right. I'm looking at that, and when it comes around, I'll look at it closer. But I don't know what I'm looking for. Educate us a little bit. What should we be looking? Teach us how to buy jewelry.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have a wonderful collection of truly fine jewelry: rings, bracelets, necklaces, earrings. I bring back pieces from Europe, and I represent many of the leading designers in America, pieces that will always stand out from the crowd.
So they're kind of, you're not going to see, if I'm wearing, well, let me rephrase that. If Holly,
go ahead.
If my wife or my girlfriend, either one, were to wear that pair of earrings, it's unlikely that someone else at the cocktail party is going to have that same pair.
No, these pieces are not mass produced. These are truly fine pieces of jewelry.
So mall jewelry is mass produced?
Pardon?
Is mall jewelry mass produced?
More than likely, yes. And
so there could
you
be
go
like,
from store to store to store, and you see the same thing over and over again.
So like at the mall jeweler here in Atlanta, and the mall jeweler in Chattanooga could have the same exact piece?
It's probably the same ownership.
Really?
Really.
I love the way you say mall jewelry. You say it like some people say cheese food product.
Yeah.
Like you just would
try to help him
disdain.
In positioning. So now, in your case, can you make me like something custom made?
Oh, absolutely.
Like you're going to sit there with a chisel?
No, but I just recently, and I'll give you a great example. I just recently had this lady that, a referral, and she brought me this beautiful pin, a brooch. Well, you look around today, you don't see a lot of people wearing brooches, mm-hmm. but it was a high quality, beautiful piece. So we
like
talked
it was
about,
antique, it was old? Or was
it wasn't an antique, but it was a very nice piece. And she was telling me she's had it in the drawer for 15 years. And,
right.
And I'm saying, well, my goodness, what would you, why don't you do something with it that you can enjoy every day?
Right.
So it belonged to her mom, and she felt bad about tearing it apart. And I said, let me tell you something. Your mom hasn't seen you wear this in 15 years.
Exactly. What's worse?
She will not mind right. you redesigning it and wearing
it. Using it, right.
So I made a beautiful eternity band for her. It was with marquees and fans and round diamonds. And we worked every step of the way to design it.
So you took elements from the original piece.
Absolutely.
And then created a brand new piece.
Yes, and I designed it out for her so she'd see exactly what it's going to look like when it's finished. We went step by step. And when I delivered it to her, she literally cried. She was so, so happy with it. She put it on. It fit perfectly. And it was gorgeous.
And that's why you go to a personal jeweler, because that's not going to happen at the mall.
Well, in a mall, you could go to someone that last week they were selling shoes, and you go back, and they're not around.
Right.
You can have a lot of problems in a mall. You know, they're putting in a watch battery, and they slip, and I'm sorry, it must be the watch. Yeah.
So now, your typical client, are they just people with lots and lots of money, like rappers and celebrities?
Well, that's what you would think, and I do have some notable clients, but
like who?
Yeah, we're
you know, you know, they're so notable. I don't want to mention their names.
Like what do their names rhyme with? Like, is it Gusher?
No. I do. You know what? Sometimes people get scared when I say I'm a private jeweler. They
right.
think they cannot.
I'm scared
me.
A little right now.
Actually, I deal from a couple of $100s and up. But whatever I have, whatever I do, it will be nicely done, and mm-hmm. you will get something that will last a lifetime. I will stand behind it. You'll get great service before, during, and after the sale. And I will always be there to please you.
And then this is something that there's no harm in calling you. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you're
not.
Thinking about something, there's no harm in getting you in the process, right?
Absolutely not. I've helped a lot of people just giving them good advice.
Right.
All right. So, where can our listeners go to learn more? Do we got to give them a secret password, a secret knock?
I'm going to give you my direct telephone number.
Wow.
Okay, ready?
All right.
It's 770-234-9529. And I will actually answer the phone.
Wow. And the website again?
It's www.kennethgordon.net.
And that's G-O-R-D-O-N, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, man. You're going to hang with us? We got one
Absolutely.
More guest we're going to visit with. All right. We have with us now Mr. Malcolm Aga, and he is a pet lover and has made it into a living. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
So the name of your business?
It's called The Pet Resorts, Dunwoody.
Oh, that sounds cool. I have a golden retriever.
Good.
And I can just see her enjoying a pet resort.
Spa day.
Spa day. Yeah. So how did you get into this business? Is this kind of like a second act thing for you, or have you been in and around animals all your life?
Yes and yes. No, I was with a couple different Fortune 500 companies, Hewlett-Packard.
Man, all these people had real jobs. We don't see that a lot. No, I'm kidding. I interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I was with Hewlett-Packard HP for a number of years in sales management positions. And my sister had gotten into dog training a number of years back, and we discussed it at Thanksgiving and Christmas and different events. And after being in the corporate world, I guess going on about 20 years, you know, as we talk further and further, she wanted to see if we could do some business expansion on what she had done from a training standpoint. So one thing led to another, and you know, I've always had a love of animals, a love of dogs. We've had, ever since I can remember, we've had pets in the house and outside the house and all over the house. And so, you know, it was just sort of a natural progression, being an entrepreneurial spirit and also wanting to help expand her business. Her business is called Atlanta Dog Trainer, and one of the premier dog trainers in the Atlanta area. In fact, she was rated the top trainer in Atlanta last year by Kudzu. In fact, a number of years she's received that award. So we started Atlanta Dog Trainer Pet Resort about 4 or 5 years ago up and coming. And last year got the top pet resort in Atlanta for that business as well. So pretty good credentials. It's something we're continuing on. We had a lot of customers in the Dunwoody area, so much so that I actually put together a pet taxi where we actually would go to people's houses.
Oh, very cool.
Pick up their animals, bring them to us, and they can head south to Florida or they can head to the airport. And it's just one less thing off their list, especially if you've got kids trying to get in the car or trying to catch a plane. And it's worked out better than I can imagine, actually. And so
people like to spend a lot of money on their pets. Have you found that?
Yeah, more than their kids a lot of times.
You know, have you thought of kind of partnering with Kenneth and get these diamond-encrusted collars? I think there's some synergy there.
Yeah, probably so. I have to look into that.
And Jennifer's Kenneth, got the mailing list.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can make that happen. If I came to you and wanted a collar.
I've done it before. I've done it.
I'm telling you.
We'll talk after the show. Yeah. No, but at that point, because of all the demand that we had, and in fact, our pet taxi now spends about 3 to 4 days a week inside the perimeter, and the coming location is a good, you know, 20, 25 minutes north of 285. So with that being the case, I started looking in the Dunwoody area and expanded and opened up a location right off of Chamblee Dunwoody and 285 near Georgetown Shopping Center.
So now what makes a good kind of doggy daycare or pet resort?
You know, there's... It's a business that a lot of people can get into very easily.
If they have a yard with a fence, right?
Well, it depends on the zoning. But, you know, one of the things that in Dunwoody and most cities inside the perimeter, around the perimeter, you have to have indoor facility, which is what we have in Dunwoody. And because it's an indoor facility and we believe the animals ought to have more playtime and freedom than be cooped up in cages and crates. In fact, we don't use...
some of them do that? Is that what some of the...
Well, they have a warehouse of some sort with a concrete floor, which is something that we're against because the animals end up imprinting on the concrete floor. They go to the bathroom because that's the only choice they have. They come home, they go to the bathroom in your kitchen, on your hardwoods, and you scold the animal. And the animal's like, well, that's all I've been doing all day. You know, what am I supposed to do? So we put turf down. Mm-hmm. And it's a green grass-like turf. The animals use it as if it's a backyard, and of course it's cleaned regularly and spot cleaned during the day and then cleaned overnight. But it's very sanitary. All our play yards are fully monitored. But the dogs that we have at both locations are out playing 6 or 7 hours a day, which is very different than any other place.
So they're like wiped out. So
that's the number one reason people come to us is wear my crazy puppy out.
So now when they come in there. And then they drop their dog off and they go to like work or they have a meeting or is that like what's
for doggy daycare? Yes, yeah. That's what we do. They come to us in the morning. We go from 7 to almost 11 with playtime. Then they take a nap midday and then they're back out in the afternoon. And we have suites and condos, so we don't have crates. We don't believe in keeping dogs cooped up in that fashion. And they're a lot more comfortable because of it. A lot of people out there are getting rescue dogs, which I highly recommend. Stay away from breeders. Rescue dogs, they're fantastic. They need homes. There's plenty of them. The Southeast and most of the states in the South, for whatever reason, don't have spay and neuter laws. So you've got all these animals running around that need a home. It's interesting to note that a lot of them that are rescued by, the 25 different rescue organizations we work with are put on buses and trains and taken up to the Northeast because they do have laws up there, and there's a need for a lot of people wanting rescue dogs. Mm-hmm. And so there's a regular transport system that goes all the way up to the Northeast with
animals.
It's like
the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, in a way. A lot of barking.
Puppy train.
So tags, testing, like if I want to take my golden retriever down, I got to go to Pensacola next weekend. Mm-hmm. And if my wife and my other daughter decide to go as well, then we would need something like this. We have to make sure that we have tag shots, testing.
Well, it's the basic, you know, by law you're required to have rabies. Distemper, you know, heartworm protection, flea protection is what you should have anyway for the protection of your animal. And then there's something called Bordetella, which is also known as kennel cough. And it's like the flu virus in humans. It's something that won't it's a vaccine that won't necessarily prevent your dog from getting this kind of cold almost, but what it does, it reduces the symptoms significantly. We've been fortunate in the way we do cleaning that we haven't had any issues at any of our locations with this situation, but it is something that can be transported by the air. Just to clarify, you said you had a golden?
Mm-hmm.
So the Dunwoody location, because of its size, we were limited to 50 pounds or less on dogs, any size cats, any size, you know. And we also do grooming, so we take any size dogs. But that's the reason our coming location is also very successful, because it's on 4 acres, it's outdoors, play yards, it's a farm. And that's where the pet taxi comes in, because people who are living in high rises in Midtown,
they want their dog out there.
Absolutely.
Running
around. Don't have that option. Right. So they'll gladly have us come get the dog and bring it back. It's not economical from a daycare standpoint, but from a boarding standpoint, it's fantastic.
Like when somebody boards, how long is a typical boarding?
We're fortunate enough to be in some affluent areas. So we've got people that are taking vacations to Australia, Japan, Europe for sometimes 29, 35 days.
Wow.
We've got dogs with us now that an unfortunate situation that was kicked out of its neighborhood because it growled at a babysitter protecting the kids that it didn't recognize the babysitter was with. And it's ended up being with us about 4 months and is doing very, very well. And the owners come every week, 3 or 4 days a week, to look at it and keep track of it. And actually, you know, to go back to your question about the love for animals, they're actually moving out of the neighborhood, building a house in Buckhead for the dog so they can keep the dog with them.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned cats. Well, how does the cat situation work? You let them run?
We do, which is highly unusual. We have cat condos, and there are two units that you can go in between, or the cat can go in between, two stories. But we open them up, and we let the cats have the run of the room that they're in. And,
with other cats?
No. Cats aren't as friendly as dogs are, necessarily. But if they're from the same family, yes. Mm-hmm. But we've got scratching posts, and we actually have a shelf with a picture window that looks over our lobby, and the cats hang out there and watch everybody check in and check out.
So they get to watch the dogs.
Absolutely.
Play it.
Yeah. But they're separated, and yeah, we believe in freedom for cats, too. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Can you just imagine? I'm thinking about my Kara, which I don't know. Have you ever met Kara?
Yes.
Running around on 4 acres and coming while I'm down in Pensacola?
Oh, yeah.
They have we go on the road and do the trade show?
It's doggy Disney World, as some of our clients have told us. Yeah,
I'm very enamored with this idea.
It's a different concept. The labor costs are higher. You have to go with the higher quality staff. Most of our staff is middle-aged, actually, and older. They're folks that don't need the income. They do it because they love dogs and they love animals and they love, you know, cats. And so it's a different clientele. Everyone's first aid certified. Everybody can read dog signals. I don't hire
What's
somebody
a dog
who,
signal?
Well, how much time do you have? you should check it. There's some good YouTube videos. Some of them are better than others, but they're very subtle signals that animals and especially dogs put out there. And if you're astute and studied it, you can recognize them. But most people just goes right by. You never pet a dog over the head that you don't know. Always go under the chin. A lot of them are rescues, and if you come over the top, they think you're going to hurt it, and they'll react negatively.
But if you go under the chin, they take that as they're more okay?
With a closed fist initially, so you still have your fingers if you don't know the dog. And then once it's comfortable with you, you know, and you can look at a dog. You can look and see if it's kind of bug-eyed looking or if the eyes are red, you know, stand back. There's something called whale eye where you see a lot of white in the eyes. That's not a good signal. Back away slowly.
Wow.
Don't stare a dog down. You know, it's the same thing.
What about cats? Do they have signals too?
So much. I tell you what, I have to say this. A lot of people think cats can't be trained. Go to Key West sometime and see the Sunset Festival. There's an amazing gentleman there that has cats jumping through hoops with flames and doing flips and jumping. I mean, it's incredible. So, yeah, they can be trained. We don't do it, but they can be trained.
Are you sure they were cats? I've been to the Sunset Festival, and I know what condition I was in when I was at there.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a little dog.
That's the other fun part of the Sunset Festival.
No, that sounds like a fantastic idea. And for me, you know, I appreciate that it's a different level of service that you're providing, but for me, money's no object because I'm going to expense it.
There you go. Perfect. We love those clients.
After working with Jennifer, he seems to be able to have more discretionary income.
There you go.
All right, so let's get some coordinates for our listeners, phone number, email address.
Sure. Let me mention one more thing.
Sure.
You're talking about cost. Our pricing is all-inclusive, so most places nickel and dime you for walk charges or feeding charges, medicine, playtime, beds, all of that's included with us, and we're very, very competitive. We are located, if anybody knows where Goldberg's Deli is, which is right across from Georgetown Shopping Center there on the top end. There's a Burger King.
Farm Burger in there?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I haven't been there yet, but I've heard good things. But you just take that little road by the Burger King, and there's a little hidden shopping center back there with a sports bar called Gilly's, and we've taken up half the shopping center.
Wow.
And so it's real convenient. The address is 4343 Dunwoody Park. Website is... thepetresorts with an S.com.
All right. Man, this is marvelous. What a fantastic segment today. Leslie, let's make sure that we leave our listeners with give us a quick rundown again on,
sure.
on
the highlights of the month.
Of course, September 8th, which is tonight, 5:30, first Monday at Memphis Barbecue. September 16th, Dudwitty Chamber and Heels Luncheon at 11:30 at McKendrick's with Craig Wolpert, martial arts and self-defense expert. And September 26th, Coffee and Contacts at First Watch Cafe at 7:30 a.m. We also have coming up on October 30th, many of you may or may not know that we are welcoming State Farm to the Dunwoody area. They are bringing about 5,000 new jobs, 5,000 plus new jobs to the area. We'll be having a welcome lunch for them that is from at 11:30, and we will have Michael Tipsword, who is the COO and vice chair of State Farm, coming to speak. And I have to do a quick thank you to our sponsors, which are the Dunwoody Convention and Visitors Bureau, Dunwoody City of Dunwoody, the Perimeter Community Improvement District, Karen Cannon Realtors, Georgia Perimeter College, Northside Hospital, and the Rotary Club of Dunwoody. And if you'd like information on this event or becoming a sponsor or any of the events I just mentioned, go to www.dunwoodycommerce.org. And if you missed any of the information on our wonderful guests, you can also find all their information on our directory because they are all members of the chamber.
Is that a real name, Tipsword, or do you think that's a stage
name? We hope it's a real name because that's who we've been promoting. So,
no,
yes.
That's fantastic. You guys always have so much going. And thank you for coordinating today's panel. This has
Not
been fantastic.
A problem. They make it easy
and fun. All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.